Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's M-O-O-D.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's M-O-O-D.com to get started.
On this brilliant tidbit, we're going to be talking about the demonic blue scourge of the 80s. Evil demonic Smurfs. Don't miss it. Hang around.
I'm Alan Brill. Welcome to Brilliant, a podcast from the mind of Brill. Warning, it gets dark in here.
During the 1980s, middle schoolers in the Houston area lived in a very real fear of murderous Smurfs. Not the cute little blue cartoon gnomes they saw on TV, but we'll get to them in the reign of terror. But instead, they were afraid of a vicious gang of murderous juveniles. They would hide in the toilets until it was time to strike, and then they would go on a homicidal rampage through school, killing principals and students, armed with machetes and machine guns. Ridiculous? Yeah, absolutely. But the fear was real. The panic was very real. The kids believed in this gang, and they really did live in fear. And, you know, remember, this was before Mr. Gore's interwebs, so this whole thing spread by word of mouth, playground to playground, and spread it did. The panic was real. The Smurfs were rumored to hide out in bathrooms, and kids were refusing to use the bathroom during school hours for fear of an attack. Some kids believed that the gang wasn't formed by kids at all, but by actual reincarnated Smurf bodies that hid actually literally inside the toilet. There was a giant school carnival that was devoid of students, parents, and teachers alike because of a rumored Smurf attack. People feared this gang that called themselves the Smurfs so much that, and not just the kids, like even the parents kept their kids home from school. They were so concerned, they just flooded the mayor of Houston with a deluge of calls that she was forced to form a three-man Smurf task force to rid the city of the demonic blue scourge that was this juvenile gang. But it was disbanded after only 3 days because the investigation revealed the whole thing was stupid. That's not how they put it, but that's what they found. Because indeed it was. At the height of this hysteria, it was attracted nationwide attention. Newsweek magazine even ran an article on it. They discovered that the panic most likely started because in January of 83, a Houston television station reported that several juveniles calling themselves the Smurfs, had been arrested for a series of petty crimes. I mean, petty crimes, not murderous rampages. So yeah, that's the story of the Smurf panic in Houston, but I'm not going to tease demonic Smurfs and not give you demonic Smurfs. I'm not going to do that and leave you with a story about an imaginary street game in the heart of the satanic panic. No, no, no. Here we go. And this one is Guano Loco. In the 1980s, the demonic Smurf panic ran rampant throughout the Jehovah Witness community. Part of the overall satanic panic that spread through all the churches and communities in the 80s. And here are just some examples of the Smurfs' demonic shenanigans within the Jehovah Witness community. Papa Smurf doll became possessed and would scream obscenities in the Kingdom Hall whenever the name of Jehovah was said in its presence. Smurf merch was said to move of their own accord and reappear and disappear, and if you try to throw them away, they would reappear back in your home. Demonic little bastards. One little girl claimed that the Smurfs jumped off her curtains and danced around her bed laughing satanically. I'm not sure what the satanic laugh is, but I mean, that's secondary to the Smurfs jumping off your curtains and dancing around your bed at night. Another young boy had his room decorated with Smurf wallpaper, which was pretty awesome back in the day. And not long after they redecorated his room, his mother noticed that he was covered in red spots. And she asked him if he had noticed any bugs in his bed when he told her, "No, the Smurfs come out of the wallpaper at night and bite me. In the daylight, they're cute and smiling, but at night, they have sharp teeth." Don't you just take a second and imagine the little blue man, only he's got a mouthful of sharp things. And kind of awesome. A young woman was said to be wearing a necklace with a little Smurf character, a little Smurf charm hanging off it. And whenever she entered the Kingdom Hall for a meeting, the Smurf pendant came alive, busted the chain, and ran out the door. Now, okay, I want to be clear here. The governing body of the church never officially issued any commands about Smurfs. This was entirely word about, spread throughout the congregation at ground level. It was never official doctrine. They never officially preached against Smurfs and their evilness. Okay, now I'm going to ask you something, because this is all, you know, satanic panic, rumor, word of mouth, the kind of stuff. It spreads. We get that. That's how urban legends grow. But let me ask you this. What if, not Smurfs, not saying Smurfs are evil, but what if something evil used the Smurf panic to continue to terrorize an already frightened people? What if a trickster or demon, if you'd rather, some dark force did animate these bastions of innocence to use our own childhood symbols of innocence against them? What if they used the Smurf to cause panic and sow chaos, to incite fear in the faithful? Perhaps something tapped into the stream of consciousness and hijacked the symbol from pop culture and twisted it. I mean, I don't know, it seems possible to me, not that the Smurfs and the Smurfs brand is evil, but that some malignant force or just bored force looking to entertain itself, but used the Smurfs figures to terrorize this group of people. That seems possible to me, not likely, but possible. And I'm not so quick to entirely dismiss it out of hand. I'm not saying you should live in fear of Smurfs, and I'm definitely not saying to burn your children's Smurf toys. I will, however, say this. If you should happen to find yourself alone outside on a dark night, and from the shadows you hear tiny voices singing in unison, "La, la, 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 la," run. All right. And that is the demonic Smurf scourge of the 1980s, we have imaginary evil street gangs and, possibly literally possessed Smurf merch. And, I stumbled, is vaguely aware of it, but, you know, mostly forgotten. And I stumbled across it again in The Highest Strangeness by Richard Freeman. Again, excellent book, full of craziness, very well handled. Love Richard Freeman and what he does. Love all the guys there at the C. I got my copy from, I ordered on Llewellyn Press. I would imagine you can get it on Amazon. I forgot to check, but, Llewellyn Press, publishes Jason Offit, you know, our man Jason Offit and, Richard Freeman and, Patty Negri and, Heather Green is also a, editor there. So yeah, I like to support them, but you know, I imagine you can just order it off amazon.com as well. Highly recommend it. That's where I got the initial little source from. Then I went all over the net there and got some more filler story for it, but yeah, that's it. And we'll see you next week. Keep it weird.
Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's MOOD.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's MOOD.com to get started.